In fact, 3 of the 5 most dangerous cities in the U.S. are in the pious state of Texas. 12 states with the highest rates of burglary are red. 24 of the 29 states with the highest rates of theft are red. Of the 22 states with the highest rates of murder, 17 are red. Note that these colour conventions in America are exactly the opposite of those in Britain, where blue is the colour of the Conservative Party and red, as in the rest of the world, is the colour traditionally associated with the political left.
Systematic research, if anything, tends to support such correlational data. Dan Dennett, in Breaking the Spell, sardonically comments not on Harris's book in particular, but on such studies generally.
Needless to say, these results strike so hard at the standard claims of greater moral virtue among the religious that there has been a considerable surge of further research initiated by religious organisations attempting to refute them. One thing we can be sure of is that if there is a significant positive relationship between moral behaviour and religious affiliation, practice or belief, it will soon be discovered, since so many religious organisations are eager to confirm their traditional beliefs about this scientifically. They are quite impressed with the truth-finding power of science when it supports what they already believe. Every month that passes without such a demonstration underlines the suspicion that it just isn't so.
Most thoughtful people would agree that morality in the absence of policing is somehow more truly moral than the kind of false morality that vanishes as soon as the police go on strike or the spy camera is switched off, whether the spy camera is a real one monitored in the police station or an imaginary one in heaven. But it is perhaps unfair to interpret the question, if there is no God, why bother to be good, in such a cynical way. A religious thinker could offer a more genuinely moral interpretation along the lines of the following statement from an imaginary apologist. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe there are any absolute standards of morality. With the best will in the world, you may intend to be a good person, but how do you decide what is good and what is bad? Only religion can ultimately provide your standards of good and evil. Without religion, you have to make it up as you go along. That would be morality without a rulebook, morality flying by the seat of its pants. If morality is merely a matter of choice, Hitler could claim to be moral by his own eugenically inspired standards, and all the atheist can do is make a personal choice to live by different lights. The Christian, the Jew, or the Muslim, by contrast, can claim that evil has an absolute meaning, true for all time and in all places, according to which Hitler was absolutely evil.
Even if it were true that we need God to be moral, it would of course not make God's existence more likely, merely more desirable. Many people cannot tell the difference. But that is not the issue here. The imaginary religious apologist has no need to admit that sucking up to God is the religious motive for doing good. Rather, his claim is that wherever the motive to be good comes from, without God, there would be no standard for deciding what is good. We could each make up our own definition of the good and behave accordingly. Moral principles that are based only upon religion, as opposed to, say, the golden rule, which is often associated with religions but can be derived from elsewhere, may be called absolutist. Good is good and bad is bad, and we don't mess around deciding particular cases by whether, for example, somebody suffers. The religious apologist would claim that only religion can provide a basis for deciding what is good.
Some philosophers, notably Kant, have tried to derive absolute morals from non-religious sources. Though ostensibly a religious man himself, as was almost obligatory in his time, Kant tried to base a morality on duty for duty's sake rather than for God's. His famous categorical imperative enjoins us to
act only on that maxim whereby thou canst at the same time will that it should become a universal law.
This works tidily for the example of telling lies. Imagine a world in which people told lies as a matter of principle, where lying was regarded as a good and moral thing to do. In such a world, lying itself would cease to have any meaning. Lying needs a presumption of truth for its very definition. If a moral principle is something we should wish everybody to follow, lying cannot be a moral principle because the principle itself would break down in meaninglessness. Lying, as a rule for life, is inherently unstable. More generally, selfishness, or free-riding parasitism on the goodwill of others may work for me as a lone, selfish individual and give me personal satisfaction. But I cannot wish that everybody would adopt selfish parasitism as a moral principle.